Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahaihi Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 43. Srila Prabhupada comments, the word nata is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita 5:33 and 39. The Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam Purana, Purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations, Ramadi Murti Shukala, Niyamena Tishtan, Nanavatara, Makarod, Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person, with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayana with four hands, equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoviti Tattvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Satchidananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on verse 12 in Bhagavat Sandarbha Anucheda 40. In order to give an example how the Supreme Lord assumes the forms of his various incarnations, thus manifesting certain features of his original form, Sukadeva Goswami says, the Lord assumed the form of Vamadev just like a theatrical actor. In this comparison of the Lord to an actor, Sukadeva Goswami notes that the Lord is a wonderful actor, and the gestures of his hands and movements of his body fill the audience with wonder. Although when the Lord appears in his various incarnations, he may seem to be an ordinary human being or demigod, but in truth he never suffers the material miseries, which are the everyday experiences of the conditioned souls, and he is never imperfect in any way. Example of an actor who changes his dress is used although the example is imperfect. The Lord does not only change his dress, but he changes his form. Right, so his arranging as an actor is even more special, because he's changing the dress and the form. That, while other actors, they can only change dress. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continues, when the great sages saw the Lord as the brahmachari dwarf Vamana, they were certainly very pleased. Thus they placed before them Kasyapa Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all the ritualistic ceremonies, such as the birthday ceremony, right? Because that's why it said he's a Vatu. He's a Brahmana, but he's a Vatu. It means it's just, you know, went just for the, you know, the ceremony, like that. So, Srila Prabhupada comments, according to Vedic civilization, when a child is born in the family of a Brahmana, the birthday ceremony known as Jata Karma is first performed, and then the other ceremonies are also gradually performed. But when the Vamana Rupa appeared in the form of a Vatu or a Brahmachari, his sacred thread ceremony was also performed immediately. You know, because he's not like Krishna, where then when he took the form, he took the form of a baby. But here is that, no, he's taken the form of, he's already ready for initiation into the sacred thread. He's at that point. Because, you know, they want, how you say, Before was about raising a child, right? So then you start from a baby and then go up from there. Here is about getting, the demigods back to their position. So, you know, results come now. You know. Sukadeva Goswami continued, at the sacred thread ceremony of Vamanadeva, the sun god personally uttered the Gayatri Mantra. Because it's about him, so getting this the Gayatri Mantra from the sun god, now that's, you know, as good as it gets. Right? Brihaspati offered the sacred thread, right, because he's the Brahmin, so then like that. And Kashyapa Muni offered a straw belt, because right, that's okay. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who is the king of the forest, gave him a Brahmadanda, the rod of a brahmachari. His mother, Aditi, gave him cloth for underwear, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him an umbrella. O king, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seven sages offered him kusagrass, and Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads. When Vamanadeva had thus been given the sacred thread, Kuvera, king of the Yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms. Because Kuvera is then all wealth, so then in your begging pot you'll do okay. And Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva and the most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him his first alms. Because right? when in the ceremony, then the first thing you do is that the first one you beg from is from your mother. Right? Because the idea is when you start something it should be auspicious. So it should be you go to someone who will give you alms, so you can guarantee your mother will give you something. So in this ceremony, then, because the Supreme Lord, the Mother Bhagavati, because she would be the origin of all mothers in the universe, so then she's the first one to give. Right? You know, after that, then you go to the father, because he may say, well, you weren't so, you know, but mother will give anyway. Like that.
So, first time when you go out on book distribution, you better go to the temple president.
Yeah, no, you should go to someone who you know will, you know.
You go to your mother.
Yeah, go to your mother. And then she says, can I get a different book? It's always the same.
Yeah.
Having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamanadeva, the best of the brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahman effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmanas. After Lord Sri Vamanadeva set a sacrificial fire, he offered worship and performed a fire sacrifice in the sacrificial field. Right, because that's the early part of the ceremony. Then the latter part of the ceremony is the brahmachari does his first yajna, like that. In specific brahmachari yajna. So then, having done that, then he did his yajna, and so now then, you know, that ceremony is fully finished. Now on to other business. Right? Verses 20 to 32. Lord Vamanadeva meets Bali Maharaj. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashwamedha sacrifices under the patronage of brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord, who is full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step, right? So here's that you have a dwarf brahmana, right? So that means he's at the age when they would get their sacred thread, so at 5 years. So he would be that size, a dwarf. Right? You know, so Indian kids are always small. You know, and then smaller than that. So, how you say, guaranteed cuteness.
It's like a walking umbrella.
Yes. I think it's in one of the places, I don't know if it'll say here, but Bali Maharaj could just see an umbrella moving. You know, because you take the umbrella, you know, the natural umbrellas are that big, so that means the stick is like here. And so that means he would have been the height, either he's having it on the crook of his arm down like this, because if you put it up here, then you can see the feet. You know, but you put it, when you're not having it on your head, you just put it in your arm. And so then that means his arm standing would have been at this height. You know, so he just sees this umbrella. And he's like, how is this? Why is an umbrella moving? You know, there's no wind. There's no, you know, like that. This is umbrellas going. So, yes. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step. While engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field known as Bhrigu Kacha, on the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamanadeva to be like the sun rising nearby. So when they do these big yajnas and that, they still come down to earth to do that. Because this is the place for, this is Punyabhumi, this is the place for doing these things. So even though they're situated and they're having planets, you see it's all these big demigods, and that when they do these big, big ceremonies, they all do them here. The Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, okay. O king, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgent, the priests, along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumara, or the fire god had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. Because otherwise the sun god and the fire god would be that effulgent, and only Sanat Kumar, who would be small like a child, then would have that same kind of effulgence, because he's the, you know, you could say the original incarnation of the Lord in the universe. It means, you know, in the manifest, you know, Mahavishnu is before.
Who would be the original?
The Kumaras.
Kumaras?
Yeah. They're given as the first incarnation.
Kumaras?
Yes. I mean, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are there as the guna avatars, but then within that, when they manifest the first pastimes, then the Kumaras are the first.
So they're Vishnu Tattvas?
No, they're not Vishnu Tattvas.
Shaktivas?
Yes, Shaktivas. But they're the first incarnation.
Jnana
Shakti. So they're the Shakti Vesh of the knowledge of the Lord. You want to get smoke all over the walls in your house? Sheets as white as foam on milk. You don't know. Yes, so therefore that's going to come down here. No, this is just a place, because what's performed here it gives that universal benefit. So it's just, this is the place for it. You know what I'm saying? While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, so much speculation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hand the rod, the umbrella, and a water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashwamedha Yajna, appearing as a Brahmin boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deerskin, and matted locks of hair. Right, because he's small, so he's just wearing the belt, his kopans. They have his peg shoes, he'll have his deer skin, you know, and then his umbrella, his danda, and his kamandalu. So just all the items of, you know, the Brahmin, like that, and of the brahmachari. Right?
Yeah. Why would those brahmanas from Bhrigu dynasty argue at the sacrifice?
Who has come? Is it the sun god? Is it the fire god? Is it the four kumaras? Who is it that's you know, so they, you know, have their different opinions on what it is. And while this is going on, then Vamanadeva comes into the sacrifice. Oh, and matted locks of hair. Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. Right? So these are all the things that are the rules on Brahmachari, what he does. So when the Lord comes, he does everything perfectly like that. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction. So the limbs, everything is perfect proportion and everything. So everything's beautiful, but it in itself is beautiful, but it adds to the overall beauty of the of his full form. So it's not just one thing stands out. Like he was, he wasn't like a what do you call it? A hand model or a toe model or something. So everything was perfect, and it added to the overall of his perfection of his personal beauty. He offered him a seat with great satisfaction, thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls. Bali Maharaj worship him by washing his lotus feet. Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. Right, so then he gave him a seat, washed his feet, then he sprinkled the water on his head. So he's following everything very properly. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 28. Lord Shiva is known as Gangadhara, or one who carries the water of the Ganges on his head. On Lord Shiva's forehead is the emblem of the half moon. Yet to give supreme respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva placed the water of the Ganges above this emblem. This example should be followed by everyone, or at least by every devotee, because Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajanas. Similarly, Bali Maharaj also later became a Mahajana. So at this point, he's not a Mahajana. He's a devotee, but he's not a Mahajana. One Mahajan follows another Mahajan, and by following the parampara system of Mahajana activities, one can become advanced in spiritual consciousness. The water of the Ganges is sanctified because it emanates from the toe of Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj washed the lotus feet of Vamanadeva, and the water with which he did so became equal to the Ganges. Bali Maharaj, who perfectly well knew all religious principles, therefore took that water on his head, following the footsteps of Lord Shiva. So he's a Mahajan, but he's following other Mahajans, so that each Mahajan will respect the other Mahajans. And there may be also a line, particular line there. So, yeah. So, in other words, one may have a good position in everything, in society, or in the family, or whatever the position. But one must take that the position of servant of the Lord, that's above all those things. Right? So in other words, the topmost would be service to the Lord, that position is servant. Then when we drop into the material, then we may have a consideration of higher and lower and all these different things, and status, family relationships, all these different things. Wealth, influence, if that makes sense, age, all these things. Once you come into the material, then you deal with that. That's the etiquette. That's the formula expressed through. But the highest will always be the devotional aspect. That must always be seen. Right? So you can't, one devotee to another devotee should not be trying to establish their position by age or by some other position. Right? Unless it's in connection with that. Right? Otherwise, if it's in devotional service, then you have to go by the surrender, that how much service is rendered, how much sacrifice is there. Does that make sense? That always makes a difference. Otherwise, it's very common in the community that people do, well, I'm older than you, how are you saying this to me? But what's the service? What's the position on that? That's the main thing. Then, by etiquette, yes, if you're older, you deal with them as older and all that. But as far as who's the senior most, that would be based on the devotional. Yes. It's one of the ways to do. But the point is even you have that, you have the principle where the spiritual master is comfortable with by following the instructions, even if the disciple becomes more advanced than him. So if the spiritual master is cool with that, everybody else would be good to follow suit, yes. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of the things, is generations in the line. Just like Lord Chaitanya, how did he deal with Ramachandra Puri? Senior, because he was a god brother of his spiritual master. But as far as spiritual advancement, basically all of Lord Chaitanya's associates were all more advanced than him. So etiquette is done like that, but in the spiritual it's a different thing. So just because it's senior, so that's why we have to be able to deal with these dual aspects. You know, is that In other words, there's the singular principle of respect. And so for whatever is respectable in an individual, that must be respected, and through the medium that that is expressed. But at the same time, one has to know that there's a hierarchy of respect. Within respect, then the highest will be devotional. Then next will be knowledge. Then next will be, influence in that, power. Then there's relationship. Then there's going to be sacrifice. I'm not sure that relationship sacrifice aren't first. Then wealth, then age. So age is actually the lowest of them. Because the point is by age, naturally you have more experience, you have more understanding. That's what makes the senior. Right? That's the whole point. Because it's not by wrinkles, otherwise then you would not take share as senior, because there's no wrinkles. So it's the age itself and the experience. Right? Does that make sense? So that's there. So one has to be able to deal with both of those. So you may have a younger person who's actually senior on one thing. Let's say you have two Vaishyas. One is older and one is younger, but the younger one's more wealthy. Right? Like that. So the younger one will respect the older one because of age. So he'll use the proper language and everything to show respect for the age. But the elder one will respect the younger one because he's actually more wealthy. So that's the Vedic system, is that you can do them. You can do all these things at once. While the Western is just, no, there's something that you're senior and that's it over everybody else on all things. The temple president, he's the senior. He knows everything. He doesn't know how to do puja, wouldn't know which end of the achman spoon to hold, you know, anything like that. But he pronounces what must be done and this and that, because that's not the way that works. He's in that, but then let's say the head pujari, he's in knowledge. So he respects him for, okay, so what should we do here? You understand? But as far as influence, the president is more. So therefore, the pujari will respect him for that. Does that make sense? That's the system. So, yeah. Yes. So therefore you have the material, you have the spiritual. And then within the material there's gradation. Within the spiritual also. The neophyte, uttama, you know, madhyama, like this. So they all have their gradations.
Who would have the last word between the two
righteous then? Depends upon what it is. You know, if it's like, okay, how to deal, okay, you're very involved in the business, and then how not to put so much pressure on the family and how to alleviate that, then you would listen to the older one. But when it comes to making money, you listen to the younger one. You understand? Money is more respectable than age. Age is the bottom. We have to understand age is the absolute bottom. It's an important thing. But it's the lowest of all of them. But we generally tend to take it that we're older, and therefore that means we're, you know, we assume, but that doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work like that.
Like experience and age.
The experience. That's why experience goes with age, but it means that doesn't mean that you have the same knowledge. You may have experience in a particular field, but that's just with age. But the subject matter doesn't mean you know more. You know what I'm saying? That's why. That's why the whole overall is Brahmins are respected. Because otherwise, let's say you have, let's say at the school, like just for us, for example, at the school, the principals of the school who actually run the school are all in their early 20s. Now, a parent will come in, and they're most likely, if their kid's getting into Gurukul, is not the same age as them, they're going to be older. But the natural default is they figure because they're older, they know more. So that's why these things are given, because they don't know more. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that one has to see from that. So even you take experience, okay, an average family in Mayapur, how many kids do they have? One, two, like that. How many kids have these guys raised? Okay, you bring your kid to the school, he's 5 years old. You've been dealing with kids for 5 years. They've taken so many kids through. So as far as experience goes, it's 10, 20, 50, 100 times more. But we'll just look at age and say therefore. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to see that, the influence of this and that. When it comes to money, okay, there's a devotee, he knows really how to make money. So he's there at the Gurukul and they're discussing some of the money and he gives some suggestions. This, if you do like this, this will work better. He's to be respected because he knows more about money than they do. But when it comes to knowledge about education and that, it's the other way around. You understand? So the point is you respect someone for the particular position that they have. But because you have one doesn't mean that that overarches everything else. Does that make sense? In its field, it is the main one. Right? So someone has, let's say, a devotional process. His sadhana, his chanting, his commitment, and all that, he's more than everybody else. But when it comes to management, doesn't mean he knows anything. So he'll listen to someone in management, but when it comes to devotional, he'll listen to this one. Does that work for you? Because otherwise, we will try to put it that we're always senior, and then we see that socially, it's always destructive. Right? Otherwise, if we followed all this, we might actually have community. Because we never follow this, therefore, community is greatly restricted. Yes?
I guess the difficulty historically in Islam is also that Srila Prabhupada was expert on all levels.
Yes.
And those who followed him, they were not.
Yes. Yes.
So then, by default, everybody took them as Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
But then...
Well, Prabhupada said, do as I do. So then... It means we might take the form of what Prabhupada did, but you also have to take the attitude that everything has to be connected to Krishna.
Yeah.
And so then we also see the simplicity. Like Prabhupada, when he traveled, they had one big suitcase. The dictaphone went in there, Prabhupada's clothes went in there, and also the servant's clothes went in there. So everything went in there. You know? So... When he says do as I do, it means take all of them, not just the ones you like. You know? Yeah, so it's there. Because this refinement to be able to tell the difference in things, that's always a great difficulty. That's the place to develop. Developing political correctness in no way, shape, or form ever, for eternity, will ever develop this. Because it can't define these things. Because you say, oh, this point is there in the Vedic. No, but the modern doesn't accept that. So it won't work. It hasn't worked. It can't work. Otherwise, the West would have the most fabulous community there is. But it doesn't have community. Right? We talk about communities, but they're generally the ones that we have. Those who talk about community have something bad to say. Right? You know, the Jews have community. The Hispanics have community. The wealthy people have community. You know what I'm saying? But these are all the people that, the government people, they have community. But these are all the people we have something bad to say about if we're being, you know, liberal and modern and all that. So the point is we don't actually accept community. We just say, because community sounds better than saying, I'm doing this simply for myself. But I'm going to do it in a nice way so I don't bother you. Right. Yes?
The wealth consideration just for the vaishyas?
No, it's for anyone. Let's say you have two kings. One has more wealth than the other. Then he has more land, more this and that. Then you'll respect him for that position. But let's say when the different kings are how he can apply himself, then you might find the smaller king is more influential. Just like, let's say, in a meeting. You have certain people who are super influential in a meeting. But I know some of them, they're super influential, but you give them a paper bag, make it wet, put them inside, they cannot get out. Absolutely can't. But in a meeting, so you have to respect them for their influence.
It seems like it would be sort of contrary to Brahmins, though.
No, because the Brahmins are always the highest, because knowledge is the highest.
Yeah, but I meant in terms of wealth.
Means the point is if someone's wealthy, how does he identify? If somebody's rich, they identify him rich, so you have to deal with that. If you don't acknowledge that, then it's a problem. Now, if the person doesn't need that to be identified, then you don't have to deal with it. But so amongst Brahmins, that might be viable. But amongst Vaishyas, it's going to be rare that that's going to be a thing. Maybe if you're dealing, let's say, they're at the temple, so now they're going to be dealing on the devotional. So you have this guy who's, you know, 10th richest in India, 15th richest in India. They're all there paying respects to this brahmachari who doesn't have nothing, and he's not from a family that makes that much. But because he's committed in devotional service, they respect him for the sadhana. But now, if there's some discussion on how to spend money or make money for the temple, they better be listening to this guy, because if they listen to the brahmachari, then they're not going to get anything. So that's the thing. You have to have that discrimination, which means intelligence, to be able to discern who you respect for what and where. And that's culture. So if simply that was introduced, so much nice things would be there in the interaction with devotees. But that means you have to accept respect or authority. And if you have authority issues, then you can't do that. So then that's already your first. Hence the term antyaja, means outside the system. But if Shivananda Sen's dog can become a devotee and go back to Godhead, then ourselves as antyajas, we can still go back to Godhead. But it doesn't mean that in between we don't make a mess of things materially. But spiritually, at least we can go back to Godhead. So on the spiritual platform, then we're set. But on the material platform, if you want that to also match, then... If it's there, they would. Just like we said, Gargi, she was in the assembly of Janak Maharaj. So he's one of the 12 Mahajans. So here's a great Vaishnav. And then Gargi, she's a, you could say, a kind of bhakta. So she's a liberated Vaishnav. She's on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. What's her devotion? That is not brought up, but at least her realization, she's on the Uttamadhikari platform. And therefore, her understanding of transcendence will be very great. Now, Vishwamitra is there at the assembly. They're discussing who's the greatest scholar. So then... Different Brahmins are asked different questions, and when it comes down to it, all questions can be answered by Vishwamitra. And any Brahmin that's there, any most detailed question that they know, they ask him, he knows the answer. So as far as knowledge goes on that platform, you know, within the Aparavidya, then he is the senior most of anybody there. Because even Janak Maharaj doesn't know those details, or Gargi, because they're not interested. It's all Karmakanda stuff. But then when it says any other questions, then Gargi stands up and then she asks about transcendental knowledge, which is in a senior branch of knowledge. So Paravidya is higher than Apara. So right here, now the senior most is Janaka and Gargi. And of the two, Janaka would be the senior. And so, and Vishwamitra, he probably is less than most people in that assembly. He's probably the least in the assembly. So then, when she asks the questions, he doesn't even understand what she's talking about. So he becomes upset. So rather than push the point that, you know, transcendental knowledge is superior to aparavidya, she just immediately announces to the assembly that, because she was the last one to ask questions, so everybody else had accepted. She was the last one. So she just announced that he's the greatest scholar here. Does that make sense? So if you do have a Brahmin who does identify with his wealth and thinks he's very special for that, or whatever it is, his wealth, his knowledge in astronomy, in Vastu, in Ayurveda, or whatever it is that people are into these days, then you respect him for that. So it's along with that. So within that group, then that will be part of the thing. So the point is what's the problem in respecting for that? Since we're humble and tolerant, then therefore we don't, and respect others don't expect respect, we don't have a problem. But if somebody does have a problem, it's respected. Why not? Does that make sense? So that's the thing is, as we said, the West is not used to it. It's always who's higher, who's lower, that's it. But in the Vedic, it's who's higher in what. And so you can have different people or, like, yeah. Does that make sense? like that. So that's the thing. Say you're having a class, students are teaching the students below them. They're using the one classroom, so let's say we're learning math, so one of the students is the teacher in that, but in the next period it's English. A different boy who was the student in math now is the teacher in that, and the one who was the teacher is now the student. So in the Vedic of training, there's no problem with it. But in the modern, it's always, if I'm senior, I'm senior on all levels. And that is a total disaster when it comes to social, economic, anything. It's just a disaster, outright disaster. Like that. It means if you look at it, Western history is always based on who thinks they're superior. It's not based on Dharma or this or that. You know, if it's a matter of the peasants don't have anything to eat, they could have asked, Louis and said, work something out. But no, we're superior, we know better, we should have position like them, why should they have, we have more money than them, the bourgeois, we have more money than them, they depend on us for the money, we should be in charge. And if you look at non-Vedic history, it's all based on that, it's always someone's false ego. Say something you don't like, next thing you know, your whole family's gone. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. One more thing, in the modern, you also have who's better at maintaining people's health. That's also, you could throw that in as one of the points of respect. Yes?
Could you please clarify the difference between influence and relationship? Because my understanding was relationship.
Relationship, she's your grandmother.
Isn't that coming to age?
Okay, you have this guy, he's 70 years old. You don't even know him, from Adam, okay? Then you have your grandmother who's 70 years old. Which one gets more respect? So relationship is more than age. Right? Both of them will be respected, but the grandmother's more. Right? But between the two of them, they're equal.
She would be more respected.
Grandmother.
Among them.
That's there because that's because she has more influence. But that's a different thing. At age, they're equals. So this means that it's a dynamic that all these things are going on at once. We like it. No, it's just, what is it? Is it this or it's that? That's the Western disease. No, it has to be able to balance all these things. And this, the fun part is in Brahmacharya life, this is the first point. Just respect. There's another five. We don't even get out of the gate with this one. So these elements of Brahmacharya, these are the basis of human society. And one we find so complicated.
Because I was kind of thinking relationship would link into influence.
No, relationship is relationship. Then they have influence or not. Okay, you have, your uncle, and he's the, duke of this, but he doesn't have any position or land. He just has his house and that's it, but actually he's no influence. But then there's another uncle that he actually controls half the country. So therefore, they're both respected, so there's a difference. Understand that these are the positions, then they're combined. But we're taking, as soon as it's combined, it just negates it and it's all finished, and so therefore we can just go down to here in this little box like this, let's put this little arrow over here, and then we're done. But the point is from situation to situation, that changes. Does that make sense? Yeah.
This is according to social situation. When it comes to personal, we value relationship more than wealth, right?
Yes, but then when it comes to discussions about wealth, then who do you listen to? Yeah, but if about the relationship, it's about the relationship. But at the same time is, let's say they're equals, but one's more wealthy than the other. So on one sense, they'll be very equal and all that, but they have to be very careful that the other one is also, you don't get too familiar. right? Unless it's made very clear and with time that that is not a factor at all, then that's okay. It can be dropped. But unless it's made clear, then it has to be considered. So even though the two friends are equal, one being more wealthy and one not, let's say one, they're both from the aristocracy and one is really well situated, you know, parents and government, different things like that, big business, and you're just born into it, but, you know, a more, how do you say, what would be the term, you know, the family is not as well situated, it's, you know, it's not as ideal, but whatever, they're accepted that because it's a good family. Still, you have to respect them for their position. So when you go over to their house, the way you'll deal with their parents, you'll be very respectful. While he comes to your family, it may be more intimate. You understand? So these laws govern the whole thing. We're saying, well, how do you do this? It's so complex. No, it's very simple. You have these things. Here's respect. This is how it works. That's how it functions. Does that make sense? And so it gives all these things. These all have to be considered. So in every relationship, these are all there. And if you consider these, then it works. And if you don't, then your relationship will not be that great, because then at some point you'll think you're the same as them in the area where you're not. It'll break down. And then you'll think, oh, it's all false ego. But it's also a lack of piety. So you're saying, well, they have false ego. Yes, maybe, but you're supposed to respect that false ego. And you're not respecting that false ego is actually sinful. For them, it's an impediment. It's an obstacle. But for you, it's just sin. You understand? But because I can intellectually think about it, I'll consider I'm superior because I could find the fault. You know, it's kind of like whoever finds the fault first wins. You know? Like that. Yes. Yeah. It goes out. No. Yeah. You know, it's like two siblings, right? You know, they got to dig. It's always that kind of thing.
Influence, power, and wealth, they go together?
Influence, power. No, wealth is separate. Wealth is lower.
After sacrifice?
Sacrifice, let's say someone's done more in the way of sacrifice. Someone's done, let's say, more sankirtan. You know, let's say the person has been dedicated to sankirtan for the last 20 years, but there's someone else maybe who's distributed more books like that, but they have to respect the other one for just the sacrifice that is there. You know, someone's doing full-time service, someone's only doing part-time. You have to respect for the full-time service. Does that make sense? All these things have to be there. Because, in other words, we take it here is that Vaishnavs, then, is the devotion. Brahmins, it's knowledge. Kshatriyas, it's influence. Vaishyas, it's wealth. Shudras, it's age. Okay. That makes sense.
And but relationship and sacrifice.
Those then go up. They're higher than. Means knowledge will always be respected, but then after that will come relationship. Because, in other words, why in this order? Let's say someone is higher by knowledge, but someone else is higher by relationship. Now the tendency in the modern sense is that you have to listen to the who's higher in the relationship, but actually no, it's who's higher in knowledge in that sense. Right? But other than that, then you go by relationship. So it's a matter of, okay, you're going to please this guy or you're going to please a person with a relationship. You know, then if the two, you have to take the one with the relationship. So you know which is higher. Then after that, influence, wealth, and age. So knowledge, relationship, and what do we say?
Sacrifice. Because previously you said it
differently. No, because I had explained down and went back up, and that so it went back and forth. So it's knowledge, relationship, age. I mean, knowledge, relationship, sacrifice, then influence, wealth, age. See, because if you're not dealing with a relative, then it doesn't get put in there. So the generic is going to be knowledge, influence, wealth, age. That you can deal with anybody. Right? Relationship, then that will be specific within the family. So that's why it's explained generally as a separate aspect. Yes.
Does this principle of respect also apply in the Vedic marriage?
In the Vedic marriage, how would you? What are you thinking of here?
Because the idea can be, the understanding of a Vedic marriage can be that the husband always had the last word, for instance.
Are you talking officially or unofficially?
Unofficially.
Unofficially, when does he ever have the last word?
Has a word at all?
Yeah. But officially, then, the lady talking to the other lady, if they're rivals, then yes, no, my husband thought we would do this and that and that. No, but my husband told me, like this. And if they're good friends, it's, yeah, I know, husband wanted to do this, but, I told him that's not happening. So it just depends upon the relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Means he's the senior of the two because he's taking the responsibility and the reaction, but the point is he has to be able to take the responsibility in such a way it's in line with how the wife is, thinking, reacting, responding like this. Because if he's the subject, then you're applying the verb to the object. So it's about, you can only get a result if you deal with the object properly. You're applying the application to this object properly. Only then you get results. So if he's not getting good results, it means he's not applying it properly. So his seniority is that he's the one that's doing that. Because the other way around, the tendency is women don't do that. They apply it how they think it should be. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's where the seniority is that the man, he doesn't have to do that, but he adjusts. So the better he's able to adjust, the better he'll be at it. Well, the woman, she can't adjust. So that's why the husband's position is senior. So therefore, because you have one that can adjust, one can't, therefore the one that can adjusts for the one who can't.
Same with the kids?
The parents with the kids would be the same thing. Because the parents, they can deal with a wider range, the kids can't, so like that. But it's not that there's not training and all that, so that there's a development, especially with the kids. Okay. Balaram Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmin sages. O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence. O son of a Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of the Shastra, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. So how does he know he's the son of a Brahmin? Right? So he can tell by the particular deer skin he has, how long his danda is, what kind of thread he has, what kind of cloth he's using. Like, he can tell all that from there. Otherwise, all the brahmacharis have all the same thing. But in the Vedic, they would designate them according to Brahma, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. Yes?
But he doesn't know yet that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Whether he does or not, the point is this Brahman walks in and his effulgence and position is greater than all the others. It's obvious all of them stand up. And so then must be something special going on. Right? I mean, he's going to find out soon enough, right? Very few dwarf Brahmins take such big steps. That's why he's saying, why take 3 steps of land? He thinks that may be like 2 meters of land, and that's, no, maybe even less.
Smart.
Yeah, 1.5 meters of land. They're just thinking, what are you going to do with 1.5 square meters, Unless, of course, it's right in the heart of downtown Bombay, then it'll be worth quite a bit. I think they sell it like square millimeter down there. But, but other than that, it's like, it's what you're going to do with that. Okay. Right, so the idea is that you can tell what someone's position and all that, then that's in the Vedic culture, the way one dresses according to one's position. Like, one doesn't dress as wealthy if you're not. If you're wealthy, you dress wealthy, that's fine. but according to a situation. But someone dresses wealthy and they're not, that's not considered proper. Or influential or not, you know. All these different things. That's not proper. Like I remember once we were riding bicycles in, I think, Berlin. Yeah. And, is it Berlin? I think Berlin. Then we're going in Berlin, and then we're stopping one place, and there's somebody has a truck or something. And Maharaj was wearing an admiral's hat. Yes. Like that. And so the guy in the truck then kind of very sarcastically was, you know, saluting and, you know, like that, because his whole point is that you're wearing that hat, but actually, because it was Germany, you don't, if it had been somewhere else, in Amsterdam, who cares? But, you know, it's just cool, right? But in Germany, no, you know, this is the hierarchy, so you're not supposed to be wearing that hat. You know, so he was respecting him, you know, in that way, but saying you're not supposed to be doing that. So that's so in the Vedic cultures, according to the community, you deal in such a way like that. Does that make sense? It's part of the etiquette. Oh, son of a Brahmana. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, son of a Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of Shastra. And I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. Oh, my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. Oh, son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may ask, take from me. Right? Because he didn't come at the beginning of the sacrifice or to take part in it or be one of the sadhyas like this. He's just come now, just happened to come in. So then, you see, they stop the sacrifice. Everything stops, you know, because this great personality has come. If he had just been someone else, then he would have just come and sat himself down. But because everybody, his exalted position, they stopped whatever they were doing. Prabhupada makes that point. You're doing puja, some guests come, you stop the puja, take care of the guests, not, oh, I'm doing my puja and all that. You probably get very annoyed. You go to these gentlemen's houses, and then you go there, and then, you know, in the morning, and then you have to sit there sometimes for a long time because they're doing their puja, right, you know. Prabhupada made the point, no, you're supposed to, if you're actually supposed to be pleasing the Lord, you stop, take care of the guests, then after that, then you go back to your puja. That's the method, yes.
And if you already have a guest and then somebody else comes, but the rank is very different, what should you do with those?
No, still is that somebody comes, and I mean, unless someone else can take care of them, that's fine. But otherwise, if you're the one to take, you still stop the puja and
Not the puja, if you're already taking care of one guest, and then somebody else comes, which are very different in rank, like the one that you're already taking care of.
So then they have to be taken care of according to their rank. They don't get the same treatment. They can't expect the same treatment. Because that's the thing, is that taking care of you know, Brahmins, guests, it's all according to their position. Like that.
They're not even guests, it's something different.
If they're not guests, then they're just in the community, known or friends and all that, then you deal with them just according to what's the relationship that's there, but in consideration with another guest. Maybe they come in, you sit around, laugh and joke for hours, but because this guest is there, you can't do that. Because you're not doing that. The point is, they can't say, why can't we just sit and talk? Because you don't just sit and talk. Because you're serving this guest. So then they can't do that. Right? And if they can't understand, change your acquaintances. Like that.
Change the address.
Change the address, yeah. Yeah, put a different number on the outside. You know? When they come up and say, hey, no, this different address. Didn't you see downstairs? The number is different. Who are you? Like that, you know. Should be fun, but
for whom? For whom?
For you. Oh, best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. So
5 years old?
Yeah. Doesn't mean, but then it's not that they can't get married. It's just or you know, they get engaged, but then she'll live at her house, he'll stay at his house until they come of age.
Okay. can play together.
Hmm?
They can play together.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Like that. Conclusion. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but it's always the same man. Similarly, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. So we see is that he's still the Lord. He's still all the same qualities are there. You know, still when he walks, presses down the earth, you know, all the same things remain like that. His feet are still very beautiful. It's just they happen to be a little small in this case. Okay, so we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.